All right, somebody came in and they're not muted. So would you just, I'm muting you now. All right, you're good. All right, welcome to module two of Windwork Basics. And as I just said, it's the winds have a way of working with us. Let's just get really clear. The systems that I'm teaching you, some come directly from the wind, some come from years and years of coaching other people through different practices and the spiritual foundations of a lot of different traditions that I took, and also, you know, what really helped me and what I worked with. But what I really find to be the biggest truth of all of this is that once you invite the winds in, the winds have their way with how this goes. And somebody was putting in there, well, I'm going to have to work with this for a few seasons. I'm thinking like, you've not worked with the wind yet. Because you might think that you're going to be working with something for a whole season and boom, the wind's going to come in, take it out. And it's very expedient a lot of times. And it will bring things up for you quicker than most. And it's just simply having this relationship with nature and wind that gets all of this moving. And today we're going to get into it a little bit more. And I'm going to explain backwards what we were doing last week, because I couldn't explain until we got here what we did last week and where we're going next, and it'll start to make more sense to you. As I mentioned to somebody on the Facebook wall today, is wind work is really simple, but that doesn't necessarily mean it's easy. Like this week for me, what was coming up was, you have old altars that you haven't tended to, you know, take out your mesa, take out your chinupa. Right now I'm still on the mesa part, and start to look backwards and see what your relationship to these are. Do you still even have any relationship, or are they just something you stuffed in, you know, a sacred drawer somewhere and haven't looked at in 15 years? And so that's been kind of the work that I've been doing. And funny, I pulled out the mesa, put it all out on wood next to my Buddha, and you know, it's been raining ever since. So the cloth is open, the stones are all getting a nice bath and everything. And I brought one into the house, and I don't know what that's about, but I guess I'll learn as I go. Because altar work, it's like, I can't give you, here's the handbook to how to work with your altar, because the altar in itself is a living, breathing opportunity for you to go deeper in your own world. And that's what this work is really about, is how do we live and be in purpose and in balance. And that's what that magnetic north is. I think that discussion came up because this week on the Shaman's Cave, I'm very lackadaisical. And some people find that really kind of like, well, why aren't you talking about all the people who are dying? And why aren't you talking about all the people who've lost their jobs? And it's not that I'm not sympathetic or immune to it all, but it's not how my spin axis is aligned at the moment. I think this is an experience for us all. And I come from the position that we all chose to be here right now at this time and place. And so whatever your situation is, what a great opportunity to be taking this wind work at this time and have these tools that we're learning here together to try to make sense of, well, why am I in the beautiful desert with the most incredible spring we've ever had ever? All the people are gone that usually are clogging up the streets, lining up in the supermarkets. Why am I getting this beautiful moment in the desert, in nature, at this moment? You know, sometimes I think I woke up on the right side of the timeline here. You know, then there was an earthquake last week and I got a little bit like, okay, what's going on? You know, but the thing is wherever you're sitting right now in this time and space, as uncomfortable as it is, as pleasant as it is, as great to get with your family as it is or not, enjoy it. I mean, just enjoy it and know that this was the divine appointment that you set up for yourself, because this pandemic that we're facing is actually a pivotal point on our global compass. So that's what I want to say about that. So we're getting ready now to move into the next phase. And one of the things that I've been reading this week, and it's really interesting because I've always thought I've always thought these wind tools were self-soothing, but they were also about teaching us to connect to that wind breath. And one of the things that they're saying is best for us in this moment of our breathing is the exhale. So a lot of you have wind whistles. I would suggest getting them out. And we're going to read this prayer. And instead of the reading, we're going to talk at the bottom. I'm grateful for the winds for the self-reflection, and I forgot to change it on here. I'd like to start with this prayer at the beginning. And I think I mentioned last week when I used to be in Peru, and it would be in the tent in the cold night out there up on us, Salkantay. And, you know, we're freezing and it was really cold. And the shamans were laughing and having a grand old time. I think they had rum. And we were like, this is me. This is a serious ceremony. Why are you laughing so hard? Well, that's why I keep this New Zealand prayer at the top about saying ha, 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 and laughing. Because prayer is a joyful occasion. And this is a auspicious weekend that we're coming right upon. It's Passover and Easter. And I don't know what your traditions are, and you can go back. I think there was an article yesterday about how Easter is set, and it's set on the full moon. So it's really kind of a pagan dating of how this is all going. So it's the second full moon of, Terry probably could tell us better. But somebody may know exactly what it is, because I do know, but I didn't put it in my slide, so I don't know now. So maybe I didn't really know. Well, any case, so let's do this prayer together and let's do our wind breathing first. Let's do three. We'll inhale, connect to our spin axis, which is that holographic energy form that goes down through the center of you, and feel it connecting deep into the earth. Then on that exhale, really feel that exhale, that you empty out that air. Stay empty as long as you can, and then breathe in slowly and hold it for as long as you can. You know, 7 to 10 is good. And then again, on that second exhale out, since we're calling in to notice tonight, we're calling in the south wind, let's call to notice on the second wind. And then on the third wind breath, we're gonna create an energy bubble around our group, okay? All right, so I'm gonna, we'll start with the wind breathing, and you can stand up or sit down. I'll sit up straight. All right. Let's start by taking that first wind breath in to the count of 7 to 10, whatever feels comfortable, and really feel that filling up the center hole of you and really bringing that axis down into the earth and grounding it into, you know, the magnetic, that molten at the center. Hold it. Stay empty. And call to notice the south wind this time. And when you're bringing that wind breath in, feel notice coming in to work with us. And release. Thank you. And that third final wind breath in. And as we blow it out, let's blow an energy bubble around our lives, around our family, around our communities. That always changes everything for me. So I'm really glad to do that. It's been a, you know, this is a trying time. This is just a really trying time. And even at the best of my desert and all of it, it's really a test of how is my spiritual conditioning? How is my resolve? So I'm just, I can't even tell you that how honored I am that we're doing this work together at this precise moment. I didn't plan this after I knew we were going to be stuck at home. This was planned way before. And so it's just really, I think that we're all here for a reason. And what I would want to say about that is that one of the best ways of really taking full advantage of this class is by sharing on the Facebook page or the, you know, the group page. And I'm very excited that most of you have joined the Facebook group page. And even somebody who said, I don't do Facebook, has come over there and said, wow, this feels like a really safe place. And this is just the second time this Windwork Basics class has been taught. And it's so it's being refined a little bit. And one thing that I learned on the integration call, which we didn't have an integration call the first time we taught it, we just learned about those and they're really wonderful, is that the next time I'm going to have the integration call before the first class. Because one of the things, because I'm super computer literate, I don't take into account that some of people really aren't. And that what seems like just so simple for me isn't. And so I'm putting on my patience galoshes and I'm going to go backwards for a minute here and revisit a couple of things. Now, all of you had to get a username and a password and everything to access this practicalshaman.com/wwb.spring/2020. There are share buttons on there. And if you share it, someone's only going to be able to join us if they pay for the class, which is, you know, because it's a lockdown page. However, you should be able to get to this page. And so that's what I just kind of wanted to give you a little tour of what's on that page once you get there. So, because I seem to be answering a lot of the same questions over and over again. So that means that I haven't done a very good job of explaining it. And so on the top of the page is that wind bath exercise that I told you that I just did for this group when I went out a couple of weeks ago. Now you feel a little guilty to go out even where there's no one and walk, but I might have to do that because I'm going to need some time. Oh, good. It looks like most all the assistants are here tonight. Thank you for coming live. And so over on the top of the page is the link to the private Facebook group, the syllabus, which you'll learn with me is just a document because it always seems to change with the wind. The personal assessment, and thanks to you, I mean, and this is why the feedback is good. Thanks to you, somebody said, can you make it a fill-in? So I sent it over to the graphic designer. She made it, you can type into it now and test it out. I changed the personal assessment there with the new one. And then the pre-class anchoring bonus, which when I shared with somebody was only one page. So I learned that there was something with that. So I fixed that too. Then over here, when you go down on the page, there's the pre-class stuff, which has the anchoring, the new coordinate worksheet, the video presentation, and all of that. And then the module one. And what I'm doing, so it doesn't just get so busy over here, is that I'm putting the videos over on the right side. So there's the video of my teaching, and then the video of the integration session with Bridget. So last week was really technical about how to get in the class and how to do other things, a lot of it. So that might be good for some of you if you're still stuck about how does this all work, all right? And then I will keep adding. Then I do an audio only. And as I'm going, I'm actually recording, and I'm having a really good time with it. I'm recording journeys that are layered. So I might, tonight's is at the fire, and then I do part of it. And so they will be all here as well. Okay? Any questions on that? Put them in the chat, and the assistants can help. So last week, and some of you joined later, these are the terms for Windwork Basics. So if you aren't familiar with these terms, my suggestion is you might go back over to the homepage there and download the slides. There's a that says slides for week one, but it's really, it's like a PDF handbook that kind of goes with this program. And tonight I'll put this, all of these slides too, so don't feel like you have to take a ton of notes. You can just listen and then go back and get the slides. So we're working in the Windwork Basics. We work with the cardinal directions, and we then start to invite in the intercardinal directions or the cultural directions as we go. Someone's asking, is there a way to print the slides without the graphics on them? No, but you can print them in black and white. The personal assessments are just for your use. And if you, the thing is I say that, but if you really want, I would, if I had my personal assessments, I would probably go and share some of the insights that I learned on the Facebook wall, because there's nothing like sharing what you've learned about your assessment. And I was going to go through mine a little bit tonight with you on the Facebook, because once you say it out loud, see, because remember, the whole purpose of the wind is, and thank you, Linda, you said this to me in December, is that this is a vibrational energy. And so when you start to create energy into form through the breath, through the wind, and saying it out loud, like, wow, I just learned that I'm a five in this, but I'm only a two in that, then it starts to give the wind, hey, she's ready to work on that. You're putting that energy into form. So that's why sharing is such an important part of this work, because when you reveal something, and one of the things that I asked you not to reveal right away is when you have a really profound journey experience, I say, hold that for 24 hours, learn to keep that sacred, because a lot of times we'll put it out there and say, oh, what does this mean? Well, I don't know. You know what it means. You know, go ask the wind on your wind walk what it means. We're practicing the wind breath. We're going to keep going over the cardinal direction, so I'm not going to go through those one. The wind walk. Raise your hands. How many people took a wind walk last week? Nice. Good. And I took wind walks, and I got this whole, I've got a lot of information this week from the wind. Then a wind bath. Who took a wind bath? No wind bath. Did I not teach you how to do that yet? We're going to kind of do a wind bath tonight. The journey is a wind bath, but it's a wind bath with fresh sage that I picked that's now dried and ready to do it. So we're going to do a wind bath. And then the wind whistling, you've been seeing me wind whistle, but next week we're going to start to learn how to whistle up individual winds. So that's very useful. The wind spirit cards. Now everyone could download on that homepage the wind spirit cards. And then somebody asked me what the difference between those and these are. These are nice card ones that go in these nice bags that are made by women in Africa. They're all ethically sourced. My graphic designer's been with me for about 15 years, and I make sure she gets some every time we print. And, you know, I like to support this global mamas in Africa. And so everything about it, including the wind whistle, is ethically sourced. And that's really important to me. The wind knots, we're going to get to those, I think, in week four. But remember, those were the sailor knots that have power. And then the spin axis. The spin axis is going to be your best friend as you understand that you can be anchored in no matter what wind is blowing, no matter what wind is going on around with you, that you can remain anchored. And I think that's the thing that was kind of getting people a little upset, is that then how can you be anchored when other people are suffering? Well, we need you to be anchored if other people are suffering. You need to be awake. For me, I try to bring positive energy to the world no matter where I go. And that doesn't mean things aren't going on around me. My sister's in a nursing home where, you know, there's a lot of cases of this COVID. You know, my mother's up in Maine waiting for, you know, for people to shop for her. It does not mean that. But if I look at my life in the moment, in the present, am I anchored? And do I have the food to eat tonight? Am I happy? These things, are these working in my life? And that's really where we need to be tending to, because when we tend to these things, then we're most of service to the other people in the world, because our needs are met, which is all about what we're going to be talking about this week. Once your needs are met, you can be of service instead of giving to get. So this is, we're back, and this is a reminder that we are nature, and this is everything. And this is so important because we are this virus. The virus isn't over there that somebody else is having. This virus is us. It is, we're living, breathing the virus. You know, I suspect that it's at low levels. You know, hopefully we're all becoming immune to it as we go, but we're not separate. The lungs in the Amazon aren't separate from us. And this is the key to understanding wind work. So it would be helpful if you had Winds of Spirit, because that way, and I think I forgot to mention this last week, but maybe I don't want to go too much into you. On page 49, it's the introduction to the cardinal winds. And so you could go through and read a chapter of the east wind, and then the south wind, and then the west wind, and then the north wind as we go. And if you're not really quite sure what you're, you know, what this all means, last year Bridget did a book study where she went through the book chapter by chapter, and all of that is on YouTube. So I'll put, remind me to put that link up there, Bridget, on our homepage, so that you can have access to the whole entire book study, because we want you to understand this, because these are important navigational tools for this time. All right. So I hope everyone's downloaded their Wind Spirit cards, just so you can start to get a sense of them. And then, so I've already told you the importance of the group sharing, so I'll skip through that. I kind of reviewed a little bit about week one, and now we're going to go into the group process. And part of this group process for me is that the group process, you know, you can write to me, and I'm not the most wordy person, so you might get four or five words back. But if you write on the wall, you know, there's people who write a lot more than I do. So you'll get a lot better feedback from other people and start to communicate with each other, because we're a community and we need to be a community. Keep an eye on your dreams. Are they revealing something? You know, do you have a beginner's mind? I had no idea that altar was going to tell me to pull out, you know, my mesa that I haven't looked at in 10 years. So if you have a beginner's mind, I redo this every single year. And it's just amazing that it just keeps going deeper, 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 deeper. So Trina doesn't understand about downloading the cards. Would one of you help her with that? I just showed you at the beginning, go back at the beginning of these slides, and it shows you right where they are. Still have to go through here. All right. Keep forgetting to fix this. So let's talk about what we've been doing and see how this really starts to work in your life. So module one was about East, Eurus, the East Wind. And again, you can read all about Eurus, the East Wind. And it's about the mind, memories, and beliefs. And in the Vedic traditions, they believe that all memories, past, present, and future, are stored in the East. So what a wealth of information is stored over with the East wind. So if you have a question, you know, that's mental to ask, the East wind is a perfect guide for that. And if you see what we did is in the first week with the East, we did some mental work. We did an assessment, which is mind, memories, and beliefs, because we had to review the year, because how would you get to see how you've learned if you didn't look at what you've been learning or what you're learning now? Or how would you look at your financial prosperity if you didn't have some kind of resource to know where you were in all of that? Or your self-care or your relationship. So this was a mental activity where we're actually using the help of the East wind to examine our beliefs, to reflect on our own experience, to write out our assessment, and we used our intellect to answer these questions. So were there any particular ones that surprised you of these wind rankings? You know, most of my life looks pretty good, but then I realized, I'm gonna let you in on a little secret, that in my relationships, family, friends, and love, I had no wind. Now, I have big relationships out, you know, I have like personas, but really when I went through my relationships, I was thinking like, well, here I am, my friends can't even come over and eat with me, so I'm cooking and they're coming to pick up food. So, I mean, I have relationships, but this is what happens and this is how it works. So after I'm doing my assessment and I drive up the hill and I see these two young lovers not practicing social distancing at all, they were necking on the car. They were like in it. And I was thinking to myself, wow, you don't even have a relationship with passion. You didn't like, I had nowhere to put that they were having this kissing thing going on. And I was like, well, that's kind of really curious that I just kind of stacked that away somewhere. And it's like been on hold somewhere. But the thought of even like, I couldn't even, you know, that woman who does Catherine Hayward, who does the How to Attract the Love of Your Life. And, you know, she tells you to close your eyes and imagine someone kissing your neck. Well, just close your eyes and imagine these two lovers kissing. And it was like, huh. So, you know, close your eyes and imagine, are you even connected to that passionate side of yourself? And so I saw that I didn't really even have wind on that. And then, you know, I was thinking about that, would I even want to find an ideal mate? So many years ago, and we're talking many, there was this gypsy who told me that I should really stay out of relationships. And I don't know, you know, so 15 years later, I still have been out of relationships, other than I have really close friends and stuff like that, but that passionate kiss. So I had to give that no wind. My physical health and wellness, well, right now that got a two. That got it's being disrupted. It's really, really being disrupted. You know, I don't know about you, but I've been eating things that I don't even eat. It's Carb City over here. And you know, and I'd like to shed some weight. Some of them were, my spiritual life was really fair sailing and, you know, all of that. And then at the very end of it, it asked you a question, like what do you want to engage this work for? And so the one that I thought that I wanted to work with was number five, what practices can I engage in or create to gain clarity and alignment? And what are my next steps? And so that was all mental. You know, that was just going through it like a fact-finding mission. Well, now this document, and that's why I said, let's get this document done. This document is going to be another kind of living, breathing altar for you for the next 3 weeks as we move forward, because now we're going to take this document and move into the South with it to see how we feel about it, you know, to see how our emotions, our needs and desires, because the South wind is about our emotional needs and desires. And you know, and one of the things that we're going to continue to do is the altar work, the daily wind walk, and we're going to start to identify where we're feeling things in our body. Now, and I came up with this craziest exercise, which I'll share with you at the end, a suggestion of how to do it. But let's talk about emotional wisdom. Because remember last week I was saying that the emotional is always in direct opposition to the spiritual. And that's just the way it is. I'm not judging it. I'm not, you know, it's just the way it is. So before the indigenous storytellers were talking, there back in the Sumerian tablets, they talk about the south wind. And so this thing, and how more timely is this? So Adepa's boat was swallowed when the sea split in two, kind of like where we are. He was enraged by this disruptive event. How many of you have felt enraged by this disruptive event? I mean, if you're honest, there's been like, I mean, I haven't been too enraged, but you know, I mean, there's been moments where I really feel like this is a little out of control, you know, but I call my mom. She doesn't seem to be in a good mood. My sister in the rehabilitation place for wayward souls is in bitchy. You don't even want to call her. And, you know, people are not happy. And a lot of people are. Adepa was enraged by this. And so the fisherman broke the wing of the south wind with his word. And so for 7 days, the wind would not blow. And then Adepa was, you know, then when you think of the wind not blowing, the scum goes over the ocean, you know, everything starts to die. There's no, you know, the virus just sits over us. And then he was summoned to heaven to explain his actions. And what he had to do was look at the anger in his heart. And then he experienced forgiveness. And while in heaven, he refused food or water from the gods that promised everlasting life. Well, how appropriate for Easter weekend or Passover that we should be talking about eating that, you know, giving these foods that were going to give you everlasting life. And so he chose mortal humanity, which is where we all are. We're human. And, you know, people are dying around us and it's really sad. And, you know, but we don't have to be angry about it. We can show up in service. So he was sent back to Earth to share his emotional wisdom. So our work this week is to become emotionally strong, emotionally resilient. The world needs you now to be emotionally resilient so that your spin axis can directly be sourced from spirit and that your emotional wisdom is not being ignored. I love this. This is many, many years ago. Somebody once said to me, feelings buried alive never die, Renee. And, you know, then I was in a lockdown ward once and the art therapist gave me this saying that muddy waters clear themselves in stillness. So this is like we're converging at a perfect time to be doing this work is all I can say. So our emotions are the energetics they're the energies behind our thoughts. And again, what you're breathing out. So there's two types of emotions, those that connect us and those that disconnect us. Now, for the last 4 years, we've been a really disconnected kind of place. You know, before the last 4 years, you could have dinner with your neighbors without having to talk about who they voted for or, you know, where they were. And I mean, I have friends who are staunch Republicans and I have friends that aren't. And, you know, because in my life, that is not what connects me. I love, you know, how they love their family. Are they joyful? You know, in those other giving things. And instead, you know, there's been this wedge drawn between us. So the disconnection is the fear, the anger, the hate, the rage, the sadness, and the anticipation. So where are, it's like when I say that I feel like I landed on the right side of the timeline, the love, the joy, the trust, and the surprise, like I've been really loving cooking again. And, you know, not cooking just for me, because otherwise I would really have to shed some weight to the universe after all this, but I've been cooking and, you know, giving it to my friends. I don't very often go into the other disconnect kind of feelings. And I really believe that that's because once I had the wind, I knew the wind had my back. And I've never been looking, I've never been seeking, I've never been searching ever since then. These were some wind faces that I drew up to talk about our emotions. They stir up like a wind. They're a mental state brought on by chemical changes in their hardwired responses. Now, there's some belief that there's really like these six universal emotions, but there might be some other ones too. But these are ones that universally around the world that people have. And so these are kind of like to really think of, like, when you work as a healer, you start to be able to read other people's emotions to see how you're doing. So our needs, and I'm kind of reviewing these because we've all seen these before, but you're going to be working with these this week, and they are in the slides and they're also in the exercise. Okay. So there's a lot of needs here. And these are when your feelings are, when you're satisfied. These are the feelings that you have when you're satisfied, the affectionate, the engaged, the excited, the grateful, the inspired. These are all the satisfied ones. And then these are the ones when you're not satisfied, afraid, annoyed. So what our work is to find out what we're feeling so we even know where to pinpoint. You can't even ask the wind for help if you don't even know what you're feeling. So one of the things that I wanted to show you, this is where the wind work gets a little tricky. And this is where, when I was here, this was when I tried to tell the editor that I wasn't putting the cardinal winds in the book. And there's a whole story about that, because I said, I'm not putting the cardinal winds in the book. And then I go into my box of cut cards and I'm there like, I think I'll make some wind cards to go as business cards this year, right? And as soon as I did that, I just reached in, and what do you think I pulled out? The east wind, the west wind, the north wind, in succession. And there was a lot of cards in there. There was maybe 200 cards at the time. And I'm like, all right. So every time I wanted to not put something in the book because it was too hard to explain, they came out and they revealed themselves anyway. So that's just how that goes. But so this is where you need your mind just a little bit more here. So now the east wind is about your mind, memories, and belief. The south wind is about your emotional needs and desires. The west wind is about your physical, the endings, and the harvest. And the north is about the spirit and the community, and so, and your purpose. So when your needs are not met, and this is where I'm going to really look at the group chat. If you get, when your needs are not met, there's things that happen over in the east. And you'll see that time and time again. So when you say you want to start something new, like a new business, for example, and your needs are met, then there's forward movement on your new business. You're energized, you're flexible, you're creative, you can complete a task, you do it in moderation, you make healthier choices, and then you get the community, connection and community. Okay, are you with me still? So say I'm writing a new book and right now my needs aren't met. So now I'm going to procrastinate. I'm going to have habitual behaviors come to the forefront. I can't complete anything. The ideas don't flow. You can't make good choices. If you're talking or brooding about stressful situations, you know, you make justifications why you're not writing that book. You're resentful because resentment's about refeeling. You're negative. You have excuses and envy. So all of this when you're aligned with so this is about a balancing act. So now this is a double south. So this month I pulled cards for each of the months, and I happen to have a south in this month, which is kind of an interesting thing because here we are talking about the south, and you know, emotions are coming up. So when you have emotional symptoms, when your needs are met, your laughter and joy, you feel a sense of freedom, you're feeling great, relaxed, trust, patience, happiness, focus. You might even have trouble remembering things you have to do, clarity, euphoria, and contentment. But when you have unmet emotional needs, you're crying, your overwhelming sense of tension, you can't relax, your nervousness, quick-tempered, poor concentration, so no sense of humor, and indecisive. So what you'll see is that this week is probably going to be double the south. All right, does that make sense? Are you with me here? So, but if your emotional needs aren't met when you're over on the west, when you're getting raring to go now, you're harvesting, you've done a whole great garden, you're going out there to, you know, get all your stuff to take to market, and you know, oh, this is reversed. I'm sorry, this is the unmet ones. So you can't even move your muscles, you've got headaches, sleep problems, shakiness, no interest in sex, weight gain, all of this in isolation. But when your needs are met and you're happy to take all of that stuff to market, you're feeling strong, you know, the things you grow are supporting your own longevity as well as other people, you're smiling, you're exercise, and your healing happens. But this is all based on, are you aligned like a Depa in the South, or do you have a fearful, angry heart? So there's a physical trick if you're, you know, stuck in here that you can, smiling can trick your brain by elevating your mood and lowering your heart rate. So that's just kind of a good little trick that if you're really in a grumpy mood, smile anyway, and it's going to help. So, oh, these got reversed. Sorry, I moved these all around before. So let me go here. I don't like that. So the spiritual symptoms when your needs are met. So again, this goes back to, are those needs met, those pages of needs that you have empathy, you've got good intuition, compassion, you're drawn to nature. One time I remember when my emotional needs weren't being met and my intuition was so bad and I kept asking the tarot over and over again for a different answer. Have you ever done that? Like, oh, just give me a different answer to meet these needs that aren't being met and they're not going to be met. Does she love me? Does she not love me? No, she doesn't love you, and stop it. But you could pull and go on and on with your own craziness. Life is sacred. You're present. You're service in your inner peace. But when your emotional needs aren't met, you're given to get. You're taking course after course, teacher after teacher. You have a lack of faith. You're double judgmental, you're suffering, you're self-serving, you're abandoned, you're hopeless, you're angry, and you're selfish. And one that I noticed with a lot of addicts, they're stingy. And so this is because somewhere they're not getting their emotional needs met. Is this making sense? So before we go into, before we're going to do, I have a great exercise tonight. We're going to actually clear our emotional bodies. But I want to tell you, last night I came up with this great exercise, and I did it two ways for those of you who are on Facebook and those of you who aren't on Facebook. So this is all about How am I feeling? Because we need to, so I created a 7-day challenge to see how you're feeling. So you could really, really, really get into how am I feeling? So on your inventory, I suggested you go page by page. So I would go page by page. Well, how am I feeling about my mental, my learning and my career? Well, one way of doing it is you could share something about something you've learned this week, and it could be about your wind work or you know, whatever else you've learned this week. And then when you do it, you can create a post for yourself on Facebook. Now, ideally, you could come over to the Wind Work Basics, and this is a nice safe place to try this out every day and start a post. And when you start a post, look at, you click on it and Facebook pops up with, how are you feeling? And then you click down into the feeling, not what you're doing, because doing is next week. Right now, this is how we're feeling. And so when you go into how you're feeling, there are like maybe 50 to 100 ways to feel. A lot. You know, the first page, you know, has happy, angry, sad. So when you're posting something, this post how you're feeling too. And this might not resonate with some of you, and that's okay. So, but what I'm thinking is that on page 2 of the feeling exercise, which is on the homepage, there's the needs assessment, there's the feeling assessment. So if you're not into doing this on Facebook as a journal, like a journal, a Facebook Wind Work Basic journal challenge with us in the group about how am I feeling today, you can do it in your own journal. But what I want you to go through is page by page of your assessment. And there's maybe about 7 pages here. So you could pick one a day and really look about, how do I feel about this? How do I feel about my financial prosperity? You know, like when I look at my financial prosperity, am I exhausted? Oh, that's an interesting way that I'm feeling tired. Or I'm feeling, God, this has been the best quarter ever, you know, and I'm invigorated. But see how you feel about it. And it's going to have some really revealing things about that for yourself. Before we get to the exercise for today, I want to see if there's any questions before we move on to the exercise about this. Does this kind of make sense that it's 2 pages, and I just showed you how to do the Facebook one on here, but on page 2, it tells you how to do it in a journal as well.
Hey, Renee, there are a couple questions from the chat that I wanted to bring to your attention.
Okay.
Do you want to do that now or after the journey?
No, I'd rather, well, depending, are they about before the journey or are they after the journey?
They're before. They popped up earlier during the presentation.
Okay.
What are they? So the first one is, how long will the materials be available to everyone in the course?
You get them, so you can download them as you go.
Will they stay on the course page? Will everyone have
access? They will. They will. You'll have access to the course page for a year, and you'll have access to the community university for 3 months.
Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm. The next question is the spin axis the same as Hara's line?
I don't know what that is.
I don't know either. And then another person was asking if you could just quickly describe the spin axis one more time, please.
Well, I'm going to describe it next, so it's perfect okay. timing. Perfect. Was that it?
Yes, that's it for now.
Thanks. Okay, thanks. Well, that was perfect time for that last question. Now, don't you think we couldn't have done that better, Bridget? Thank you. So, funny, Hank Wesselman sent me a message today. Let me see if I could find it and show it to you, because it was like, so this perfect message from Hank right at the right time. And so in Alex Gray's book, so I didn't invent this. I just started to see it with the wind. So in Alex Gray book, there's this holographic spin axis that goes through the center of everything. And so it's not something that you know, it's not something that I think that I have any right claim to, but there is all of this curiousness going on in his picture about the movement, which I suspect is the wind and the energy that's coming from us through the wind, because you have to understand what brings you life is wind. What takes your life is that last wind breath out. So that is the movement that flows through everything. So there's that spirit that leaves out, you know, when you go out the crown or through your breath or some recollection, because I think it's really holographic and it's really, you can't exactly say that there's a straight line, because there is not really a straight line. And so it's very three-dimensional at the best. And one of the things that caught my curiosity was that so many of the healers that I met 10 years ago, or a lot of them, they used to say, you know, source says, and, you know, like that this information was coming from outside somewhere. And it used to really bug me. Now I don't really care, because I know that that's not exactly the way I see it. But that one of the things in the journey I was shown was that same outside holographic, there's an inside holographic that's equally as profound as that exterior. So that outside source of information is one part of it. But last night when I was on my wind walk, I was told that this emotional self work we're doing is really about the second mind. And so in here, like, we know that the mind really isn't in the brain, but we like to think that it is, that our emotional body informs, is that second mind. And so what holds us all together on this holograph is some kind of a magnetic pull to the center of the earth that is the same thing that holds a lodestone going magnetic. It holds the whole universe in place. And so if it holds the universe and the earth in place, you have to understand that it's the same thing holding you in place from the inside. Does that make sense? So as without, within. And so the work that, you know, when we talk about doing emotional healing and stuff, to me, it's more about healing the energetics of the emotional, because then that's going to align you better to the other situations, so that everything gets aligned, so that I'm aligned to be living here in a beautiful environment right now, because I'm aligned to where I'm supposed to be, perfectly aligned. And, you know, everything about that works out. So just the best way to is close your eyes and imagine that there is an access that comes through you down along your spinal cord, but it continues into the earth, holding you grounded into this plane. Otherwise, we could be floating around. You know, we could be not in, we could be more like the birds, but we need to be grounded. And so that's what this is. And as I understand it better, I'll probably know more in the next few years, but this is brand new work that hasn't been on the planet for 10,000 years. So you're helping me birth it. Thank you very much. So in this meditation we're going to do, I want you to really, if you can visualize this, and if you need to feel it a little more concretely than as this holographic magnetics that comes through you, that's okay. But what we're going to do is I'm going to light the sage during this exercise, and we're going to actually feel this magnetic inside, and we're going to start by facing to our visionary east, and then we're going to unwind So we're going to be smudging and unwinding. So the go slowly with it and imagine yourself in each direction. And if you have your wind whistle, do the three breaths. Do those three wind breaths and in each direction, feeling yourself pulling out whatever. Go back to the emotional, like on the east, go back to what I was talking about. Were your needs being met in the east? How do those new projects go? Are your needs being met in the north? How is your spiritual? Are your needs being met in the west? How are you able to move forward? Are your needs being met in the south? You know, what are being tended to? So you're unraveling how your needs are working for you right now in your life. Okay. It's a little tricky. This is why Wind Work Basics, where we get the trickiness out of here. And then we're going to finish back in the east, and we're going to finish up with the east wind. We're going to send that east wind home that we were working with last week. And we're going to invite the south wind in. So we've gone counterclockwise. We're going to get back to the east. We're going to send the east wind home and thank it for coming and invite the south wind to join us for our work. How's that sound? All right. So can you see my YouTube, Terry? Or are you seeing my slides? Hold on. All right, hold on.
Renee, will we be guided through this journey again?
Well, I kind of just told you.
Yeah.
So you have to remember some. And I do have a little bit of talking in here, but it's more about the direction you're in. Okay. Call to Eurus, the east wind. Ourselves, and then we're going to turn and face the north and call to Boreas, the north wind, and continue to sage yourself and unwind with the sage as you go. West and call upon Zephyrus. Thank you.
focus in the north, like there's this opposition between walking freely and our fear and our greed and being stuck in an old paradigm, whether it works or it doesn't work. Imagine now being able to shift back to the east, easing out of that old shoe.
This week. And when you're ready, come back. And I would go outside and do this. I would repeat this. And if you have your wind whistle or, you know, bring the recording out to do it. But basically you're just unwinding. And, you know, if you have smudge, actually, you know, sage, clear off the emotional field. I did that with you. And then, you know, send any remnants home. And now we're going to move in. And really, this is the whole week is going to be about how do I feel? That's going to be our mantra for the week. How do I feel? And then even in that feeling, can we hold that feeling? Just because I'm like angry doesn't mean I need to, you know, puke that out on somebody else. Or, you know, what do I do? Maybe even pay attention to what do you do when you're feeling those things? How do you respond? So there's nothing like being all cooped up to really work really closely about your feelings. So I'm very excited about this. We couldn't have asked for better timing. So that's pretty much what I have for week two. So on your deepening practice will be about your feelings and work. Remember, this is your guide. This is the work we're doing. This is the juicy piece of work that we get to work with while we're doing it. And then add the next piece to it, because what we're doing is we're layering. And then next week we're going to talk about, well, now that we've gotten the insights and the feelings, what are we going to do now? How are we going to plant different seeds for this year with this basic information? And then we're going to, you know, invite the community buy-in as we do it. All right, I'm going to stop the recording, and I want to thank you all for coming, and I will I'll stay on for a few minutes to answer any questions that you might have. Where's my recording? Oh, because I hope I recorded it.